Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We thank and praise your name, Father, for bringing your people together on the day that you commanded, that we could rejoice and give glory and praise to your holy name. Father, we know that you inhabit the praises of Israel, and that's what we were created to do, to praise you, Father, so that, Father, you would bless us, that you would watch over your servants, that you would give us the desires of our hearts, as long as we would keep your commandments and do that which is right in your sight. Father, we know that we are sinful people. But we ask, Father, that you would touch our hearts, that you would cleanse our bodies and our hearts through the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, the Lamb of Yahweh. As we have accepted Yahshua's great sacrifice, Father, you've cleansed your people. You've given us an opportunity and life everlasting. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things and do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for the sins that we so readily and easily committed. Again, Father, we thank you for the advocate. We thank you for Yahshua, our atonement. And Father, we ask that you would keep us from treading underfoot the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. We ask, Father, that you would touch our hearts and cause us to be mindful of each and every one of your commandments, to want to do your will, Father, to want to serve you in everything. Help us to put you first, Father, and ourselves last. Again, Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us while life has some strength. Open our hearts and minds to receive the implanted word this day, that we might grow up to be your 144,000, that we would see and grasp, Father, those positions of your first fruit. Again, Father, we thank you for the example that we've been given, Yahshua the Messiah. So help us to look up and to try to walk in his footsteps and do that which is right in his sight. In Yahshua's holy name, we come before you, asking all these favors and blessings. And again, we ask that you bless those in the perilous and bless the household of faith throughout the world. In Yahshua's holy name, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated. The 144,000 are upright individuals that love the law of Yahweh. And Yahweh answers us when we call on him. We also are walking in the footsteps. We're going to be like our rock, Yahshua the Messiah. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you turn with me there for our first scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 32, let's start in verse 1. It says, give ear, you heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain on the tender grass, and as the showers on the earth. For I will proclaim the name of Yahweh. So does it make a difference what name you use? Absolutely. For I will proclaim the name of Yahweh. Ascribe greatness to our Elohim, the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. Page 173 in that Bible. All his ways of justice, and L of faithfulness, and without iniquity, just and right is he. That term right is upright, Yeshua, the upright one. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are not his children. It is their blood. They are perverse and crooked, a crooked generation. Is this how you repay Yahweh? O foolish and unwise people, is not he your father that has bought you? That term bought in Canaan. It's like Canaanite. Canaan. They are merchants. But Yahweh has bought us through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. We were purchased. The 144,000 are purchased out of the earth. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you. Your elders and they will tell you. And see, today, most of the kids don't want to listen to their elders. They don't want to learn the old ways. They forget about what their grandfather and how they lived. They're not learning from the examples of their elders. And that's something that we have to do. We have to learn what our elders went through, our forefathers, what they went through. Because history has a way of repeating itself. And if you don't prepare and you don't know what happened in the past, it'll come back around and bite you. It will come back. See? Most of us don't like to take correction. We don't like to listen to our parents. We don't want our parents telling us what to do. You know? But as you get older, you realize your parents did everything they thought was right by you. Think about it. You know, when you are a little person, you think you know it all. And I got the grandkids like this. They think they know everything. You know? And I'm not saying they're not intelligent. They are very smart. It's just that they don't know that they don't know. Seriously, we were all there. We just have to be willing to admit it. We were all there at one time. Isn't that right, David? We have to admit that we don't know everything. And that's hard for people to do. But see, where Yahweh is concerned, what he's trying to do, he's trying to save us. And I've entitled this message, Yahweh Saves. Yahweh Saves. And he's going to save the 144,000. He's going to save a lot more than that. But see, this is the cream of the crop. This is the first fruit. These are those who are like Yahshua the Messiah, the first of the first fruits. Okay? Because they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They're going to do the same thing Yahshua did. They're going to be faithful to Almighty Yahweh. They're going to keep the covenant. And this is what we're trying to do. I'll read verse 7 again, just so the young people get it. It says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. Because they have stories to tell you. They know the history. They can tell you, you know, about the old days. I used to ask my grandmother about, you know, because my dad's 90 years old now. He can tell you about some things like the day before the jet plane. You understand what I'm saying? So they've seen it from the horse and buggy to, you know, the technology of today. And yes, he has a cell phone, and he uses it not as often, but I'm sure he does. But these things kind of, you know, and there's some older people that have no problem using these smartphones. But I tell you, it can be difficult. It can be difficult. And I have to get my kids to help me, you know, find certain things and do certain things with these phones. Because it says in the last days, knowledge will be increased. And that means that things are going to be better technology-wise. But you know what? The old ways are still there. Yahweh still wants you to keep the covenant. He wants you to keep his commandments. Doesn't mean it would change as far as that goes. See, we can apply the covenant of old with our lives today. We still keep the Sabbath. We still keep the feast day. And there are a lot of groups out there saying, oh, no, they've been done away with. Not in the scriptures. The scriptures didn't tell me that. They don't say that. I have not seen in the Bible where it says we're not to keep the commandments of Almighty God. As a matter of fact, when it says in Matthew 5, 17 and 20, not one yoke or tittle shall pass from the law. He came to fulfill it, but it's not gone. We still have to do it because that's what Yahweh wants. He wants his people to walk in truth. And that's what we try to do. We try to walk in truth. Okay? It says, when the Most High, verse 8, gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, and that was in Genesis 10:25, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He gave them their inheritance. For Yahweh's portion is his people. And that's where that 144,000 comes in. They're going to be the cream of the crop. They are Yahweh's people. You don't have to worry about them following Baal or worshiping the Lord or God or any of the other pagan mighty ones. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He compassed him about. He cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle that stirs up her nest, that flutters over her young. He spread abroad his wings. He took them. He bore them on his pinions. Yahweh alone led them. Now, this is the Yahweh of the Old Testament, the one that came with Joshua the Messiah. Remember, he was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He led Israel out of Egypt with a physical manifestation of his power. They saw him. Yahweh alone led him, and there was no farm El with him. He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the increase of the field, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of the herd and milk of the flock, with the fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats, with the finest of the wheat. Not the refuse or the worst, but the finest of the wheat. And the blood of the grape you drank wine. But Jeshurun, you upright one, grew fat and kicked. That's what happens when people get successful. They get satisfied. They forget Yahweh. He blesses them. They get some wealth. And they forget Yahweh. But we're not going to forget Yahweh. And you know why? Because we're trying to fulfill those 144,000 jobs. We're trying to be the first of the first fruits. It says, you have become fat. You have grown thick. You have become sleek. Then he forsook Elohim, who made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. How can we lightly esteem Yahshua himself for all that he's done for us? Think about it. I don't care what kind of trouble you might be in, what kind of problems you have in your life. When you turn to Yahshua and you get on your knees and you ask him to bring you through, you know, people promise so much that if you only do this for me. They make all these pleadings and promises that if you do this for me, if you bring me through this crisis in my life, I'll be faithful. And what happens? He brings you through, and then they forget it. They forget their promise. We cannot be like that because we know that Yahweh saves through Yahshua the Messiah. And we have to be faithful. If we give our word, then we need to do it. You make a vow, and you have to fulfill it. They moved him to jealousy with strange Elohim. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, which were no Elohim. And that's what the people are doing today, who are worshiping these pagan mighty ones. They're sacrificing the demons. To new Elohim that came up of late, which your father dreaded not. Of the rock that so created you, you are unmindful and have forgotten El that gave you birth. We cannot forget Almighty Yahweh. We cannot forget Yahshua the Messiah. See, because if we forget, he's not going to hear our prayers. He's not going to answer us when we call him. And I said 144,000 are upright individuals that love the law of Yahweh. And Yahweh answers us when we call upon him. Psalm chapter 20, that's page 451 in the Sacred Scriptures Bethel edition. Page 451. That's Psalm 20. Verse 1, it says, Yahweh asked you in the day of trouble. The name of the Elohim of Jacob set you up on high. Send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Be lost. We want Yahweh to answer us in the day of trouble because that great tribulation is coming upon this world very soon. And we want Yahweh, he's going to hide those that are his. He's going to protect them. He's not going to be a rapture. People aren't going to be taken away. You know, that's false doctrine. And the scriptures show that. Grant you, in verse 4, your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will triumph in your salvation. And in the name of our Elohim, we will set up our banner. Yahweh Nisi. Yahweh fulfill all your petitions. All our prayers we want Yahweh to perform. And that means we got to be willing to keep the covenant. You know, give and take. We want to be blessed. So we have to walk in that truth. Now I know that Yahweh saves his anointed. Because he did. He called Cyrus his anointed. But his 144,000 are anointed as well. Yahweh saves his anointed. And that's where I got the title from, Yahweh saves. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. We know the right hand of Yahweh is Yahshua the Messiah. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will make mention of the name of Yahweh, our Elohim. They are bowed down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. What about one? Save Yahweh. Let the king answer us when we call. So when you pick up the phone to call, when you pray to Almighty Yahweh, when you're communicating, when you're talking to our Father in heaven, does he answer you? Does he answer your prayer? He says that he's going to answer his people. He's going to answer his anointing. Psalm 19. Right across the page, we're going to start in verse 7. Psalm 19. It says, the fear of Yahweh, no, verse 7, the law of Yahweh is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. But we know that the commandments of Yahweh are righteous and they're true. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Do we desire the law of Yahweh more than we desire gold, money? Well, it says they should be desired more than gold. That means your priorities are straight, brethren. If you desire Yahweh more than you desire gold, money. Sweeter also than the honey and the dropping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. The greatest reward you can receive is eternal life. So if you're keeping the covenant, you have a good chance to receive eternal life. But to receive eternal life and be one of the 144,000 is a great reward, because you're a person. You're going to be a part of that 144,000 who are living in that 1,000-year millennium, teaching those that need to be taught the law of Yahweh, because you know it. That's something that you have to do. If you study a subject for an hour a day for 5 years, you will become an expert at that subject. So if we commit ourselves and we study the word of Yahweh and we put this as a part of our lives, we should be experts in the scripture. But you not only have to read it, you have to apply it to your life. You have to walk in it. You have to walk that way. You have to, you know, live it. So that when people see you, they praise in reality, your Elohim, because of you. Psalm 15, let's start in verse 1. Yahweh, who shall sojourn in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He that slanders not with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes the reprobate is despised, but who honors them that fear Yahweh. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. He that puts not out his money to interest, nor takes reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved. See, we see here who's going to be in the kingdom. Who will be able to sojourn in Yahweh's tabernacle? Who's going to dwell in the holy hill? He that walks uprightly, the upright one. And those who are upright are his 144,000. They are righteous people before Almighty God. How many people do you know that you can consider upright? Of your family, your neighbors, people you know, work. When you look at this world, you know, billions of people on the planet, right? Are there a lot of upright ones? Think about it. Psalm 11. The upright shall see Yahweh. Psalm 11. In Yahweh I take refuge. How say you to my soul, flee as the bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. They're trying to take down those that are upright, because they're jealous. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yahweh is in his holy temple. Yahweh, his throne, is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Yahweh tries the righteous. But the wicked and him that loves violence, his soul hates. A upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For Yahweh is righteous, he loves righteousness. The upright shall behold his face. They're going to see Yahweh because they're going to be in the kingdom. Yahweh hears the prayers of the upright. Psalm 18. Psalm 18. We'll read verses 1 to 6. It says, I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my El, my rock in whom I will take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. Too often, people praise men. And that praise belongs to Yahweh. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Because Yahweh is going to save his people, brother. The cords of death come past me, and the floods of unrighteousness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were all around me. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress, I called upon Yahweh and cried to my Elohim. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came into his ears. Yahweh hears the prayers of the righteous, but the prayers of the wicked he doesn't hear. In Job chapter 2, turn over to Job chapter 2, start in verse 1. Job chapter 2, verse 1, at page 416. Page 416 in the Again, it came to pass on the day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh that Satan came also among them to present himself before Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Satan, from where have you come? And Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears Elohim and turns away from evil, and he still holds fast his integrity. Although you move me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered Yahweh and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has will he give for his life. We know Yahweh saved, but it says here the sons of Elohim came and presented themselves before Yahweh. And when do the sons of Elohim do this? At the feast day. They come before Yahweh at the feast. The Moedim, the holy convocation. But it also says Satan came as well. So we have to be prepared. Not only as we try to walk in truth and be upright individuals, but the sons of Elohim, another term for the 144,000. See, we're trying to be upright. We're trying to be Yahweh's children, who is also called the son of Elohim, Yahshua the Messiah. And they tried to persecute him for it because he called himself a son of Yahweh. And the leaders of Israel, the scribes and Pharisees, persecuted him for it. Yahshua said they're going to persecute you also. Because we're walking in his footsteps. We want to be first fruit just like Yahshua was the first in the first suit. We want to be the Nicolene. We want to be the first suit for the 144,000 as well. Proverbs 28, we go to verse 4. That's page 534. They, in verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. But such as keep the law contend with them. So if we forsake the law, we're praising the wicked. But because we keep the law, we contend with the wicked. Evil men understand not justice. But they that seek Yahweh understand all things. That's our purpose. To praise Almighty Yahweh. So we will understand all things. Verse 9, drop down to verse 9. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, it says, even his prayer is an abomination. Well, if we don't, if we turn our ear away from hearing the law, Yahweh's not going to hear us. He's not going to hear your prayer. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 4. I'm going to read down to verse 9. It says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteous of the perfect shall direct his way. So how we walk determines where we go. If you're walking in a righteous manner by keeping the commandments, then you can be a part of that kingdom. But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness, and the righteous of the upright shall deliver them. But the treacherous shall be taken in their own iniquity. When a wicked man dies, his expectation perishes. There's no hope. There's no future. And the hope of iniquity perishes. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked comes in his place. With his mouth, the lawless man destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge shall the righteous be delivered. But we have to watch our tongues, brothers. We can't speak evil of our neighbor and expect Yahweh's blessing. See, in Jacob, he talks about the tongue, spewing out bitter, warm, sweet. You can't do it. See? You either make the tree good, and its fruit good, or it's going to be evil. And we want to be good. Verses 20 in the same chapter of Proverbs 11. Verse 20 and 21, it says, they that are perverse in heart are an abomination to Yahweh, but such as are perfect in their way are his delight. So hand joined in hand, the evil man shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. I talked about the seed of the righteous being in the kingdom. And that seed's going to be there. Our grandchildren, those that have been raised in the proper way. As I spoke, in a thousand-year millennium, all the kids are going to go in. Kids are going to go in. Okay? That's why the 144,000 have to be there to train these children, to teach them the way that they should go, so they know to keep the commandments. I was talking to one of the sisters the other day about Zechariah chapter 14. We're going to go over there real quick before I continue. But just turn to Zechariah 14 real quick. Verse 16. It says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoever of all the families of the earth that goes not up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, upon them there shall be no rain. And it shall, if the family of Egypt goes not up, and comes not, neither shall it be upon them. There shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holy to Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holy to Yahweh of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and boil in it. And in that day there shall be no more a Canaanite or a merchant in the house of Yahweh of hosts. This is during that 1,000-year anointing. You understand? They still have free will. See? The true kingdom has not been established. This is a 1,000-year millennium that this is going on. Everybody still has to keep the peace. If not, they're going to receive a curse. See? This is not optional. This is something that's going to be required. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 37. Says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for there is a happy end to the man of feet. Ezekiel chapter 9. Now he says, I read Psalm 37:37 because it says, mark the perfect man. He's going to mark him. He's going to mark his 144,000. We know this. And the mark that he gives them is his name. They are his first fruit. In Ezekiel chapter 9, it says, then he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the upper gate, which lies toward the north, every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man in the middle of them, clothed in linen, with a writer's ink wound by his side. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of Elohim of Israel had gone up from the cherub upon which it was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen, who had the writer's ink horn by his side. And Yahweh said to him, go through the middle of the city, through the middle of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the middle of it. These that are marked are dissatisfied because of the sin that is going on in Jerusalem. And to the others he said in my hearing, go through the city after him, and strike, let not your eye spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, the virgin, and the little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So he's beginning with his priest. He's beginning right there in the sanctuary. Then they began at the old man that was before the house, and he said to them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go forth, and they went forth and killed in the city. And it came to pass while they were striking, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, sovereign Yahweh, will you destroy all the residue of Israel? And you're pouring out of your wrath upon Jerusalem. Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is very great, and the land is full of blood, and the city is full of resting of judgment. For they say Yahweh has forsaken the land, and Yahweh sees not. And as for me also, my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will bring their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed in linen, who had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded me. So he laid the mark on Yahweh's people, the ones that he wanted to be spared. Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1, it's page 732, and sacred scriptures. Zephaniah means the hidden of Yahweh. Yahweh's people will be hidden during this tribulation, 3.5 years of the worst time on the earth. It says this is going to be a time worse than any other time in the history of man. It says in verse 1, the word of Yahweh which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the face of the ground, says Yahweh. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the face of the ground, says Yahweh, and I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Kemarim with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven from the housetop, and them that worship, that swear to Yahweh and swear by Malcolm, the Moloch, and them that are turned back from following Yahweh, and those that have not sought Yahweh. Those three different groups he did destroy, nor inquired after him. Hold your peace at the presence of the sovereign Yahweh, for the day of Yahweh is at hand, for Yahweh has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's sons and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. And in that day I will punish all those that leap over the threshold and that fill their master's house with violence and deceit. And in that day, says Yahweh, there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a wailing from the second quarter, and a great crashing from the hill. Wail, you inhabitants of Matesh, and all the people of Canaan are undone. All they that were loaded with silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamp, and I will punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that say in their heart, Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. And their wealth shall become a plunder, and their houses a desolation. Also they shall build houses, but shall not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but shall not drink the wine of them. But we know in that 1,000-year millennium, they're going to build houses and inhabit them. They're going to be able to drink the wine of their own vineyard. Verse 14, it says, the great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and it hastes greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yahweh, the mighty man cries there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fortified city and against the high battlements. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against Yahweh. That's why we have to keep the covenant. That's why we have to walk in truth. And 144,000 will be saved of Yahweh because they keep his covenant, because they're walking in truth. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make an end, yes, a terrible end, of all them that dwell in the land, or the earth. That term is Ha'aretz, means the earth. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, that's page 746. We're going to start in verse 1. He says, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Yahweh, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, behold, he comes, says Yahweh of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? He is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold as in silver. And they shall offer unto Yahweh offerings in righteousness. They're going to be a righteous people that they can offer in righteousness. That means we know the definition of righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. Deuteronomy 6. 25 of it. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto Yahweh, as in the days of old, and as in the ancient years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the sojourner from his right, and fear not me, says Yahweh of hosts. For I, Yahweh, change not. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, O sons of Israel, are not consumed. We don't want to be consumed. We want the offerings of righteousness to come from us. You must have Yahweh's Spirit to be His presence. You have to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit if you plan on being caught up to meet Yahshua and Aaron, resurrected, if you die before Yahshua returns. You must have this Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is only given to those that obey. That's why we have to be baptized in Yahshua's name to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. You must have that power. Okay? For Yahweh to save you, you need that power. You need His Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8. That's page 880 in our statement of Scripture. Romans chapter 8. Starting verse 1. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in the Messiah Yahshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah Yahshua made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. If you are concerned with the things of this world, if you're concerned with a new car, a new house, and the things of this life, you're not going to be concerned with those the things of the Spirit, because you're going to put your trust in carnal things. And we have to put our trust in Yahweh and in Yahshua the Messiah. It says, for the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind of the flesh is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. But you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. That's why I said you must have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of the Messiah, he is none of his. 144,000 have Yahweh's Spirit. And if the Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raises up Yahshua from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up the Messiah Yahshua from the dead shall give life also to your mortal body through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. And we're talking about the second death. But if you put the deeds of the body to death, by the Spirit, you shall live. And we're talking about living the Yahweh. As many are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, these are the sons of Elohim. This is what I'm talking about. The 144,000 are the sons of Elohim. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption, which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of Elohim, and if children, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh, and joint heirs with the Messiah, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed toward us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. It's waiting for the revealing of the 144,000. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of Elohim. For we know that the creation, the whole creation, groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, namely the redemption of our body. For in hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for that which he sees? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we wait with patience for it. And in like manner, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. We know that to them that love Yahweh, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. Has he called us? Absolutely. According to the purpose of being the Christian. He wants us to be examples for the world. He wants us to walk so that people would see that, you know, these people love their mighty one. They serve Almighty Yahweh. They keep the commandments, regardless of what's going on in the world. They're listening to a different drummer. They're marching to a different drummer. For in verse 29, whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Yahweh has glorified his 144,000. He's justified them. He has also sanctified them for a holy purpose. And we'll get into that tomorrow in Mobile, where we talk about the sanctification of the 144,000. In verse 31 it says, what then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh is for us, who is against us? He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him give us freely all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of Yahweh's elect? We are Yahweh's elect, brethren. The 144,000 are Yahweh's elect. He has chosen us out of all the people in the world for a special purpose. It is Yahweh who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is the Messiah Yahshua that died. Yes, rather, who was raised from the dead. Who is at the right hand of Yahweh? Who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Shall tribulation or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for your sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in the Messiah Yahshua, our Master. You can look on your own time at Acts 5:32, because in Acts 5:32 it tells us that he gives the Spirit to them that obey. If people are walking around here saying they have Yahweh's Holy Spirit, but they're not keeping Sabbath, they're not keeping the feast days, they're not walking in truth. They're using the pagan names. They don't know Yahweh, but they say they have the Spirit. But that scripture tells us that they don't. Because he gives the Spirit to them that obey. That's what we have to do, brethren. If we're going to be a part of that 144,000, we have to walk in truth. We have to obey Almighty Yahweh in everything. Turn to Revelation chapter 14 as we wind this message up. That's Revelation chapter 14. It's a passage that we read each of these segments. I'm using it because it's given a definition. It's talking about the 144,000. That's Revelation 14. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their forehead." So when they receive the mark of Yahweh, when they receive that seal, what are they getting? They're getting the name of Yahweh and Yahshua the Messiah. "And I heard the voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice I heard was as the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sing as it were a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures. And the elders, and no man could learn the song except for the 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins." We're talking spiritual. "These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruit to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And in their mouth is found no lie. They are without blemish. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having eternal good tidings to proclaim to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he says with a great voice, fear Yahweh and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water." Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, and we're starting verse 16. That's page 746. We're going to close here. We're going to read through from Malachi 3:16 all the way through chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Then they that feared Yahweh spoke one with another, and Yahweh listened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name." These are his people. These are his 144,000 brothers. "And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, even my own possession in that day that I make. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves them. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Elohim and between him that serves them not." And chapter 4 says, "For behold, the day comes. It burns as a furnace, and all the proud and all that work wickedness shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. And you shall go forth and gamble as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says Yahweh. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb, for all Israel, even statutes and ordinances. Behold, I will send you Eliyahu the prophet before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Brethren, Yahweh says, the 144,000 are upright individuals that love the law of Yahweh. And Yahweh answers us when we call upon him in prayer. When we speak to Yahweh, when we turn to Him, He will turn to us. But we have to be willing to keep all of His commandments. We have to be faithful in all things. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you seek to be a part of this 144,000 so that you will be saved. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Winston to come forth and close with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow before the throne of grace. Again, Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day that you made for man to rest on, and even more so to be refreshed in your word to learn all these important things that will take us into your kingdom, Father. We love you. We love your Son. We love your written word as well as your Son who is the Word. We can never thank you enough, Father, for all what you do for us every day and throughout the week, months, and years as we look upon you, Father, for our help and strength and education, Father, in the Word of Life. So we remember us this day and remember this ministry. May you always receive glory, honor, and praise from each one of us. Help us to be strong in the faith and determined more than ever in this day and time when we see so much wickedness and evil just persevering and just coming upon the earth. And we, like I said, we love you, we thank you and praise you and ask that you be with us throughout this Sabbath day. Again, remember those on the prayer list, Father, we never forget them. We ask that you would heal and raise these people up from their beds of affliction and be merciful to them. And it's in Master Yahshua's most holy name that I ask this prayer and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.